So I just got back from TCEA, our state technology conference, and artificial intelligence was all the rage. On today's episode, I want to talk about why we shouldn't panic when it comes to ChatGPT, how we can use this tool and tools like it to make learning meaningful in the classroom, and ultimately how things like Genius Hour give us an opportunity to do things in our classroom that artificial intelligence cannot do. All right, this is going to be a fun one for sure. Hey friends, what is up? Welcome to a Meaningful Mess podcast. I'm your host, Andy McNair, and I believe that it's perfectly fine for learning to be messy as long as it's meaningful. Yep, I said what I said. Each week on my podcast, I share manageable and meaningful ideas for you to utilize to engage and empower gifted learners. But let's be honest, good teaching is just good teaching. My hope is that the ideas and strategies shared on each episode will help you find meaning in your mess. Let's do this. Welcome back to a Meaningful Mess podcast. Well, I think it's almost safe to say, I think I have almost heard it all when it comes to ChatGPT and how teachers feel about it in the classroom. You know, you have your teachers who are just really unsure about it all. Maybe even you really have a group who have never heard of it before. You have your group who is just kind of unsure and like, I'm not sure what this is going to look like or if I should even utilize it in my classroom. You have those that are really excited about the potential that it has in the classroom. And then you have those that are just 100% against it and are trying to figure out how they can block it and how they can keep their students from using it. And look, while I want to be sure that I say that I don't think any of those feelings are wrong right now, I think it's important that we, regardless of where we are on that spectrum, make it a priority to really explore this idea of artificial intelligence in the classroom and what it has the potential to do for us as an educational system. Because just like any new technology, the reality is this just requires us to think differently about what we do in the classroom. So as I shared in the introduction, I was at our state technology conference. I actually just got back today. And on my way home, I was reflecting on artificial intelligence, what it can do and what it can't do, because there are so many things that it can do. And if you haven't played around with ChatGPT, just do yourself a favor and make sure you make that happen. I recently shared on my story on Instagram, I was sharing with a friend. Well, I wasn't sharing. I was at a session of one of my friends, Terry Eichholz. It was her and Amy Chandler that were sharing a session on differentiation. And she, at the end, started kind of talking about ChatGPT and the role it could play in differentiation. And when she first went there, I was like, where is she going with this? And then she shared with us how she utilized that tool, ChatGPT, to create a learning menu. And not just a learning menu, but a menu with appetizers, main course, and desserts. If you've seen choice boards like that, she demonstrated how ChatGPT practically did that for her. And then she was able to copy and paste that into a Canva document that obviously made it something that her students would want to use, made it really visually appealing. And so, oh my gosh, I was just so excited by that because I thought, what a great way to look. It may not give you always the best things to put on that menu, but it's at least a springboard. And we've all been in that situation where it's just like, man, I just don't know where to start, right? I just need somebody to get me started. I think ChatGPT is a great way to make that happen when it comes to planning learning experiences or designing learning experiences, I should say, or when it comes to things like choice boards. And so Terry wrote a great blog post on this, and she kind of talks through how she made that happen. So I'll be sure and share that in the show notes. You'll want to make sure that you find that at andymcnair.com/episode68. andymcnair.com/episode68. You'll find the notes. I'll also include a link for ChatGPT. So if you haven't checked it out, you can do that. But let's just get right into some different ways that I think this tool is really going to help us lean into PBL, whether that be project-based learning, problem-based learning, passion-based learning. I think that artificial intelligence is going to just remind us how important learning by doing is in the classroom, and honestly, just the power of application. So as I was coming home today, I stopped for lunch. And as I did, I thought, I wonder what ChatGPT would do if I kind of asked it to create a project. And so I want to read the conversation that I had with ChatGPT. And this is going to take a second, but stay with me because this is important. I also shared this in a blog post that I wrote. And so you guys can go check that out. Again, I'll share it in the show notes as well. Okay, so here we go. Here's what I said to ChatGPT. I said, work on a project that will give me the opportunity to practice life-ready skills and demonstrate a deep understanding of the water cycle and its impact on weather patterns. Okay, so I tried to think of a project that would require those life-ready skills and that would kind of make connections, those types of things. So here's how ChatGPT responded. A project that could meet your goals could be to create a water cycle model and study its impact on local weather patterns. This could include steps like 1, research and gather information on the water cycle and its various stages, evaporation, condensation, precipitation, etc. 2, construct a model that showcases the water cycle and its interactions with the atmosphere. 3, observe local water weather patterns and collect data on precipitation and temperature changes over time. So it goes on and it lists a couple of more steps that could be done to make this project happen. And then at the end, it says this project will give you the opportunity to practice skills such as research, data collection and analysis, communication, and problem solving. So I thought, okay, so it can tell me what the project is, right? So it gave me a starting place. This is a project that you could do. So my next statement or my next question to ChatGPT was, can you do this project for me? And this is what it said. I'm sorry, but as an AI language model, I do not have the capability to physically construct a water cycle model or collect data on local weather patterns. My function is to assist with generating text-based responses to your questions and provide information. I want to read that sentence again. My function is to assist with generating text-based responses to your questions and provide information. I can help you by answering questions and providing guidance through the project, but the actual hands-on work and construction will have to be done by you. You guys, if that is not an argument for PBL in the classroom, I do not know what is. You know, recently, one of my really good friends and just somebody I really look up to in the education community, specifically the gifted education community, Brian Housen, and he shared on his Facebook and I think on Instagram, this was his quote. If your students can ChatGPT the answer, you may be asking the wrong questions. That is powerful and so true. And I think it is so funny that ChatGPT is self-aware enough to be like, hey, all I can do is generate text-based responses to your questions and provide information. That's legit all I've got. I can't do the project for you. And I think as teachers, we should breathe a sigh of relief in that. Like, you know what? That's so true. And artificial intelligence isn't in your classroom. And so I want to talk about on today's episode, first of all, it can be meaningful in your classroom in that way. It can help your learners generate text-based responses, but it's not always going to get it right. So giving them an opportunity to generate something through ChatGPT and then utilize their own critical thinking to determine whether or not that text response is accurate or whether or not that's something they want to utilize is, I think, a really cool experience. I also think, look, the reality is, yes, you can ask ChatGPT to write a paper for you. You can even ask ChatGPT to write a paper and misspell some of the words so that your teacher won't know that a computer did it, and it will do that as well. But if you have them do that and then say, hey, I want you to compare what ChatGPT wrote to what you would write or what you would say, and let them understand that their voice is not there. Their personality, their perspective is not there when they use a tool like this. And then help them consider, when is it appropriate and when is it not appropriate? I was talking to my friend, we were out for a walk, April Schoenefeld. She's an amazing educator here in my hometown. And she was also talking about this idea of, you know, giving them an opportunity to not hide this from them, let them know that it exists, but talk about the power of it and also talk about its limitations. Because the reality is, anytime we try to hide something or block it or not give them the tools that they need to utilize it, we are almost setting ourselves up for them to do the opposite of that, right? They will find ways to use it. They will use it inappropriately if they aren't taught how to use it appropriately. And in the classroom, we want to make sure that we are very clear about what this can look like, what it has the potential to do, but also, like I shared, really be honest about its limitations. So as we think through this, the reality is artificial intelligence is not in your classroom. And so I want to talk about the things that it cannot do. And I want to share that through the perspective of the blog post that I recently wrote. And again, I'm going to share that in the show notes. So let's kind of talk through this. So because it's not in your classroom, ChatGPT or really any artificial intelligence tool can't reflect on what has happened in your classroom. So I also did something earlier on ChatGPT where I said, write a reflection about what I experienced in the classroom. Well, of course, it's going to say, I need more details. I don't know what you experienced in the classroom. So I think that this is a really important point to make, is that it's not there. So if you're basing what questions you ask your learners on what they did in the classroom, not just what's on a worksheet, not just regurgitating information, but really asking them to reflect on what happened in the classroom, artificial intelligence isn't going to be able to respond to that because it wasn't there. Another thing that ChatGPT or artificial intelligence cannot do is it can't create physical products or demonstrate deep understanding through application. And what I mean by that is we know that, you know, application, I say this so often on the podcast, but application is really what shows us as educators that, look, they didn't just learn this, but they actually understand it. They can do something with it. And tools like this on the computer, that's not what that is, right? It's regurgitating information. It's giving them information. And they have access to that in their pockets anyway, on their phones. And so to pretend that that doesn't exist and to continue to do things the way we always have does not make sense. And so thinking through when you're designing a learning experience, okay, not only do I want them to learn this content, but I want them to reach that deep understanding, and that happens through application. So how can I give them an opportunity to create a physical product? Sure, ChatGPT may give them an idea of what physical product to create, but it's not going to create it for them. And so thinking about that and how we can utilize that idea of showing a deep understanding through application, I think can be really powerful. So it can't reflect on what happened in the classroom if it wasn't there. It can't create a physical product or demonstrate deep understanding through application. It's even self-aware enough to know that, right? Like I read that to you guys, what it responded to me. And I just think that's such like an aha moment. It can't make personal connections because it doesn't know what the learner has experienced before. And so because it doesn't know what they've experienced before, it isn't able to know what connects and what doesn't. So look, I'm not an artificial intelligence expert. I don't know what's coming when it comes to that part of the education world. But what I do know is that ChatGPT, in its own words, has said, "My function is to assist with generating text-based responses to your questions and provide information." So if that is what it's telling us it can do, I think it's important that as educators, we sit down and we think about, okay, this is what this tool is able to do. how can we use this in a positive way in the classroom? How can it have a positive impact on learning? And then go ahead and be honest and think through how might it have a negative impact on learning? And looking at both of those columns or both of those ideas, consider what this is going to look like in your classroom. I will tell you that I just honestly believe that blocking it or acting like it doesn't exist is a huge mistake, because when we do that, our learners are ultimately going to be drawn to it and they're going to use it in ways that are not appropriate or not how we hope that they would use it in the classroom. So as we think through this and what it has to do with Genius Hour, because that's what I talk about most, is that I just really think that when we consider those three things that it can't do, and let me go over those one more time, you know, it's not in your classroom. It can't reflect on what happened if it wasn't there. It can't create physical products or demonstrate deep understanding through application. And it can't make personal connections because it doesn't know what the learner has experienced. So when you think about those three things of what it is unable to do, how can you design experiences in your classroom that make those things a priority? Right? How can we design experiences in our classroom that prioritize reflection on what has happened? How can we design experiences in our classroom that give our learners the opportunity to create physical products or demonstrate deep understanding through application? How can we design meaningful learning experiences in our classroom that give our learners the opportunity to make personal connections to what is being learned? And the more we begin to move toward that approach, the more we'll be able to help them see, oh, this is when it's appropriate to use this tool, and this is when it's appropriate for me to really utilize my own knowledge, my own experiences, to kind of experience meaningful learning in a way that makes the most sense. So I just wanted to hop on the podcast today and have that conversation because, again, I've talked to so many educators who have different perspectives. Some are really scared of it. Some are really excited about it. And I don't, like I said at the beginning of this episode, I don't think any of those things are wrong. But I do think it's important that we're very honest about what this is, what it isn't, and how it can be utilized in the classroom to make learning meaningful. So I hope that this episode was helpful. As always, I hope that it helped you find a little meaning in your mess. Again, I want to remind you that you can find the notes to this episode at andymcnair.com/episode68. I'll put a link to the blog post there as well. So if you'd like to read that or share it with your colleagues, you can check that out. All right, you guys have a great day. I'll talk to you soon. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day to learn with me today. I absolutely love this community and enjoy sharing and learning with you. Check out today's episode notes by swiping up in most podcast apps. If you'd like to learn and connect more, you can follow me over on Twitter at McNairAN3, and you can find me on Instagram and Facebook at A Meaningful Mess. You can always find tons of resources, inspiration, and information over on my website, andymcnair.com. Be sure to check out my blog, Genius Hour resources, and so much more. Enjoy the rest of your day, and as always, I hope that today's episode has inspired you to find meaning in your mess.